Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Destroyed fences, decimated grazing land, disease spread and a menace on the roads. There's just some of the complaints and concerns expressed about the impact of Ireland's rising deer population. Now, the number of deer culled in this country has reached a record high, but farmers say they're seeing little impact. And the question they're asking is it time for a national deer cull? I'm joined by Cillian McLaughlin, who's founder of Wild Ireland Animal Sanctuary in Donegal, and also Kevin Comiskey, who's a farmer in County Leitrim and the IFA National Sheep Committee chairman. And you're both welcome to the programme. Cillian, to start with you, the Irish Deer Commission, they say there's no official record of deer numbers in Ireland, but we do know the number of deer being shot has quadrupled in the past 20 years. What's your assessment of the deer population? Do you think the numbers are increasing?
Good morning, Claire. So it's a very complex issue, deer management and deer control, and it is impossible to talk about any sort of sustainable management plan without knowing the numbers of deer in Ireland at present. We would first have to establish how many we have, and then we would have to establish what our carrying capacity is. And in other words, a minimum number of deer to sustain a population and maintain biodiversity without impacting on farmers and, of course, our biodiversity.
But do you accept what we're hearing from farmers, that at the moment the high deer population is impacting their land, their trees, their fences and what they're trying to do?
A high deer population certainly will do that, Claire. And I do accept what the farmers are saying because it's been seen in other countries as well. And we're a little bit behind. If we look to America, for example, they're light years ahead of us. They had these problems in the early 90s and they had to deal with it. So we're coming to that stage now where we're going to have to deal with it as well. But I would be advocating, first of all, to establish the numbers of deer that we do have in this country before we make a knee-jerk reaction to just cull everything, you know.
And are you completely against a national cull?
Well, it's a complex issue. There are biological issues to take into account, ecological issues to take into account, socio-political, public perception and legal issues as well. Deer are not vermin, and it's very important to note that they're part of a balanced ecosystem. And we should also look at the economic effects. Deer, whether we like it or not, are hunted, they're stalked. We harvest deer for venison. And we have tourists that come for wildlife watching and for hunting, and that has an economic impact as well. And a massive cull in an unsustainable way would impact all of those other industries as well. And that's something that would need to be taken into consideration.
And Kevin, to speak to you, first of all, as a farmer, I know you're an IFA representative, but as a farmer on your own land, you have seen with your own eyes evidence of this increase in the deer population, haven't you?
I have, thanks Claire, I have indeed, yes, on a farm that I have leased there beside me. I went into the field and I just said it was ironic that I was asked to speak on this because last week I went into the field and there was 19 deer in about a 2-acre field. And that has increased in about 10 years. I went into the same field and there was about 7 in it. So it has increased significantly in the last number of years.
And what harm are they doing to you?
Well, they'll 19 deer in that size of a field, they'll eat a significant amount of the grass. If you're going for meadow or silage, cutting it, they'll tramp it, they'll destroy it, they'll leave it very practical that you can't cut it. And then you have the impact on the fences, the damage they'll do on the fences round about the place, they'll destroy them. And indeed, last year, I was walking down with a young nephew of mine and I got a young deer hanging on the fence. The leg was badly caught. I went over, I caught the deer and held it, and my nephew held that leg, got it, the back leg freed out, and unfortunately he wasn't able to hold it then, and the deer made a jump and got away. But I'd say that deer probably died because would have taken it to the vet if we had to get to hold onto it. It was a young baby deer.
And did you hear Cillian saying there that deer are not vermin? Do you think they're vermin?
Well, possibly no, they're not. Well, it depends on how you class a vermin. Are you talking about a mouse or a rodent or a vermin? They mightn't be a vermin, but if you're standing in the field and seeing 19 of them in your field that you're paying a rent for, you know, they're a nuisance, definitely. Mm-hmm. And indeed, a neighbour of mine, we were talking about them last week, he went up at 7 o'clock that morning and there was four of them in his lawn, you know, and he was quite irate, and he wasn't happy about it because they were after being in and destroyed his hedgerows that he was just after maintaining, and some flower plants had been eaten. And, you know, it's when they come into your lawn or back garden like that, you know, that's when they really have the effect too.
So do you think a national deer cull is the way to go, Kevin?
Well, I think it is, and it could be managed, you know, and it could, you know, it doesn't have to be like the words that are used there, a massive deer cull. It could be a managed deer cull, you know, and take the numbers out. And to get a proper head count on them, I don't know how you do it, because there's a lot of natural woodland around where I am in North Leitrim, and to count them, it'd be impossible. Sometimes even in on the farm, you'd have issues trying to count the sheep.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting the messages already, Killian, from people who say bring back the wolves, they'll sort the deer out straight away. Another one, more predators, this works in other countries. I don't understand why we won't even discuss this. And if you have predators, that solves the problem in a better way. And we'll talk about the problems with the predators too. But when you're doing a cull, there's a possibility, a high chance that you'll take out the wrong deer. And if you take out the stag, you're looking for other problems there, or you're going to introduce other problems, aren't you?
You are, Claire. We've discussed this before. So just to summarise, if you have a healthy stag that's holding territory, he's going to pick the healthy females and they're going to keep all the weak ones and all the sick ones out of the area. They generally would go off and die. The problem then is the hunters come along. The hunters have no way, or the people employed to do the deer cull, they have no way of telling who the healthy deer are and who the boss is and who the sick ones are. Mm-hmm. And they take out those dominant animals. And then what happens then, you have a decrease in competition, an increase in resources, and you have all these young animals that come in season earlier, they start breeding. And nature has a way of rebounding. Nature knows when a population decreases that they must, that it must increase the population of deer. And that is what we've been seeing year on year. Go back to the Department of Agriculture cull in 1995, where they culled 4,749 deer. And then last year we were at 50,000. So I think we're starting to see now that the cull hasn't been working, and maybe the cull is.
Oh, sounds like Killian's line has dropped there. But Kevin, I want to ask you about that anyway. If you go in and you cull the stag, the young bucks have free rein and you end up with more deer.
Yeah, that's possible. It depends on if you do get the stag, or you might get the young bucks as well. So maybe get a few of both out of it and do the cull. You know, I'm sure the experts at it would be able to identify. I don't know if Killian is saying that they can't identify, but I'm sure that they could identify the weaker ones and the smaller ones.
Mm-hmm. Killian, are you back with us there?
I am. Sorry, Claire, I lost you.
No, that's all right. Kevin was just saying that the people who are doing the cull would be able to identify the right deers for taking out.
So that's incorrect. It's almost impossible. Wolves have a very simple but effective way of identifying the weak ones, and that is they chase them. The healthy ones get away, the weak ones straggle behind. So unless the hunters are chasing the deer, there is really no other way of telling
which deer are
healthy or which deer.
Killian, you've got the IFA National Sheep Committee chairman on the other line here. That's Kevin's other role. Introducing wolves, Kevin, that's an absolute no for you, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. My God, since I became chairman in 2022 in January, the amount of calls that I'm getting about dog kills and sheep attacks right across the country, and indeed the horrific attack on the young boy in Wexford, to think that we bring in wolves when we can't even control the 800,000 or 900,000 dogs, we're not even sure if that's the exact figure that's on them, with this very small number that's licensed and microchipped. And the proposals I've gotten and put forward to government, I'm blue in the face at it since I became chairman, and indeed before that on the committee. I think it's nonsense to propose such a thing as bringing wolves into the country.
And Killian, do you have a solution for that problem? If you were to bring wolves back in, how do you protect the sheep?
I would look to our neighbours on the continent and how they profitably farm alongside wolves with sheep. And I would say that dogs and wolves are very different animals. In the States where they have wolves and dogs, wolf kills on sheep are only about 1%, and 99% are dogs. They're very different animals. They don't avoid people like wolves do. There are solutions to farm alongside. And Claire, I should just be clear that I'm not talking about a short-term solution of just opening a gate and letting wolves out. I'm talking about looking at a broader picture of an ecosystem restoration where nature would take care of itself and the deer numbers would take care of themselves. And, you know, the farmers, go back to that point about, you know, colours, people culling deer, being able to pick the weak ones out. The deer killed in Wicklow last year, I think there was only 16% of them had TB. So that shows that, you know, there's 84% of healthy deer that were killed. So culling cannot do that.
Okay.
I would encourage all farmers to open their mind a little bit more to other solutions around biodiversity, because we did lose wolves because of sheep farmers. Now they want to get rid of the deer. And then my question is, what's next after
right.
that once we
all
call the deer?
We're going to have to leave that one there, but I'm sure it's something we will return to. Killian McLaughlin and Kevin Comiskey, thank you both for joining us. And lots of text messages coming in on that, which I'll bring you a little bit later on. But coming up next, is that one glass of red wine a day really good for you? Well, not anymore, apparently. We'll find out why.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.